Hachovel, the Mishnah says, B'yevid knani shel acherim chayav. If a person damages and injures the Eved Knani that's owned by Achirim, here on the top of Peches Amid Aleph, the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ein la vodim boshes, there will be no payment for humiliation of the Eved Knani. My time of the Rabbi Yehuda, why the Gemara wants to know, does Rabbi Yehuda exclude any payments of boshes in the case of Eved Knani? Omar Kra, Rabbi Yehuda derived it from a pasuk in the parasha of Boshes, Ki Natsu Anoshim Yachtov Ish V'Achiv. The emphasis here is on the word Ish V'Achiv. The Mishi Yeshlo Achva. The Torah in the parasha of Boshes is describing an Achva situation. He has a din of Ach. He's a brother to his brother. Yotza Eved Knani. She'ein lo achva, he doesn't have a din of achva, which means, number one, he's not related to any of his relatives. His biological relatives are not halachic relatives, and technically speaking, he could marry his own sister. He's not a brother to his sister, and he could marry the wife of his brother. In other words, he's not a brother to his brother, and this is all derived by Chazal elsewhere, from the pasuk by Eliezer, the Eved of Avram in Breishis Chav Beis, it says Im Hachamor, and the drasha is Am Hadomel Hachamor, meaning there's no yichus of mishpacha in the case of an Eved Knani, and therefore the Eved Knani is not called Achiv. He's not included in Achva. And we could also add the fact that the Achva, he doesn't have Achva, the Eved Kanani, with Klal Yisrael, meaning he's not Roy Lovel Akol. Again, that's a little bit difficult because a Mamzer is not Roy Lakol, and we don't know that there's no Boshes by a Mamzer. So we want to say that a Mamzer has the same Div of an Eved, and a Chovel is Potter from Dvei Boshes, according to Rabbi Yehuda? No. The answer is that in the case of a Mamzer, he is Mutal Lovel Akol. Again, he'll have to marry Gioris or Mamzeres, but he's part of the call. He has Achva. And he has call. Just that he can't marry 99% of the call, but that's because of the Mamzeres element. But it's not that he's Mufka from Yichus. In the case of an Eved Knani, Ama Domel Chamor, he doesn't have any possibility of entering the call. And he's a lot worse, the deficiency is a lot more fundamental than that of a mamzer. So he's excluded completely from Achva. That's why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no boshes in the case of someone who humiliated an Eved Knani. Rabbanon. Why don't the Rabbanon accept this definition of Achva, this requirement condition of Achva that's recorded and presented by the Torah in the parash of boshes? And the answer is that even an Eved is called Achva, even though the Chachom are going to grant you that Ama Domel Chamor, that the Eved Knani cannot marry into the Jewish folk. But why is it considered Achiv? And the answer is Achiv hu b'mitzvos. He's chai of mitzvos. Again, he doesn't have all the mitzvos. He has the same amount of mitzvos as an Isha. That's the sugya at the beginning of Chagiga. And that's based on Xer Shava called La La, but the bottom line is that he, the Eved Knani, has the same Chiv of Mitzvahs as an Isha. In fact, when he becomes an Eved, he undergoes partial Gerus of Mila and Tvila, all for the sake of Mitzvahs Aseh of an Isha. A woman is obligated in all the Los Aseh, all the essays that are Shaloh Azman Groma, and that whole corpus is incumbent upon the Eved as well. So the Eved is chayv in all mitzvahs as an Isha, and therefore he's considered Achiv. So again, we have two definitions of Achiv. We have Rabbi Yehuda's definition, which means that he's mutal likanes bekol, he has all the yuchsin, as opposed to an Eved. And then we have the Chachamim's definition that Achiv means Achiv b'mitzvahs, and he's chayv mitzvahs, and that would include an Eved Knani, and therefore there is boshes to be paid to an Eved Knani. Now, the Gemara says, Elameyatol Rabbi Yehuda, if Eved Knani is excluded from Achva, from Achiv, let's take a look at the repercussions in terms of Edim Zomim, because there too the Torah used the word Achiv. Elameyatol Rabbi Yehuda, Zomime Eved. Again, Eved here means Eved Knani. That means that Edim Zomimim, Edim who testified against Eved Knani, that he violated a capital crime and he's chayv misa, and then there was Hazoma Imanu Yisem, is according to review the Lo Yarogu. We cannot implement the law of Kasha Zomam. Why not? It's got to be Achiv. And Achiv, as Rabbi Yehuda maintains, excludes an Eved Knani. And if you open up to Masech the Makis Daf Chesamid Beis, the Braisa is quoted there that explicitly says that Yisrael, who testified against an Eved Knani, and then became an Eid Zomem, he gets Malkus for that. The Gemara is telling us that, the Gemara establishes that the case is where these Eidim Zomemim testified about an Eved that he's Chayev Malkus, and then they were subject to Hazoma, and the Eidim get Malkus. Omar Rav, Omar Rav Sheshes, Omar Krud is a special Ribui. In the case of Edim Zomu, Biarta Rami Kebecha Mikol Makom, which means in all cases that the Edim testify and they became Edim Zomu, the Torah commands us, Ubiarta Ra, to destroy the evil and to fulfill the Kasha Zoma. And therefore, the Edim Zomimim have to suffer that punishment even in the case of Eved Knani, even though technically the Eved Knani is not included in Achicha, but nevertheless he's included under Ubiarta Ra Mikirbech, and therefore he's punished in the same way that he schemed to punish the Eved Knani. And now you might want to know if Ubiarta Ra Mikirbech applies straight across the board, or perhaps Ubiarta literally means Chiv Misa. And if it means a chiv misa, then how can you derive conclusions here about the status of an Eved Knani in general with regard to Edim Zomim, for example, the case of Malkus? So you have to say that it would be Ata Rami Kebecha, even though it's referring specifically or explicitly to chiv misa, but nevertheless, it applies even to Malkus as well. Lav dafka to Misa. Now the Gemara is going to present an objection to the Chachamim Shita. Their opinion is that an Eved Knani is called Achiv insofar as he's included in mitzvahs. Elameyato, according to the Rabbanon, is Eved Yekoshel Malchus. The Torah says, in Dvarim Yud Zayin, it says, Mikerev Achecha Tosim Alecha Melech. The word is Achecha. And the word Achecha is interpreted, according to the Chachamim, in a broad scope to include Eved Knani as well. Because he's Chayev, he's an Achiv B'mitzvahs. And yet, the Gemara tells us in Yevamos Daf Mem Hamed Beis, that if a man's mother is Jewish, he can be a Melech. He's considered Bechlal Achicha. Clearly in the case of Eved Knani, who doesn't have Jewish parents, he's a Knani by birth, he cannot be included under Achiv, because he doesn't have Imo Yisrael. And yet, according to the Rabbanan, who assume that Achiv is defined by Chiv Mitzvahs, then this Eved, insofar as he's chayv mitzvahs, he's included under Achiv, and therefore he should be koshel malchus. And yet we said that he's not koshel malchus. And the Gemara answers, malchus is a separate din. Amri, I'll ask you the following question: Ulitamech tikshilach ger. Are you going to tell me that a ger should be koshel lios melech, because after all he's included in Achicha? And that should be your kash on the Rabbanon. You're only asking about why an Eved is possible Yos Melech? Why don't ask me why Ger is possible to the and this question is Ledivri Akol. This question really we have to ask even according to Rabbi Yehuda, because everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that a Ger is Bechlal Achicha insofar as he has Yuchsin. So why should a Ger be possible in Malchus Ella? The answer is you have no choice. The Omer Kroh, it says with regard to a Melech, Mikerev Achecha, that you have to choose your Melech, Tosem Alecha Melech, Mikerev Achecha. And how do we interpret Mikerev Achecha? Mimuvchar Shebachecha. And what's Muvchar Shebachecha? It means he has perfect Yichus. His mother is Jewish. If his mother's not Jewish, and she becomes a Gioris, her son cannot serve as a Melech. Why? Because he's not Muvchar Shebachicha. And how much more so, Kolshken, in the case of Eved Knani, who doesn't have any parents, he's not Muvchar Bachicha. And therefore, even according to Chacham, we hold that Eved is included in the Achicha, but he's not included in Muvchar Shebachicha, because the Torah says, Mikerev Achecha. It doesn't just say Achecha. Had the Pasuk say Achecha, let's say Miachecha Tosim Alecha Melech, it would include an Eved. And an Eved Knani, therefore, can become a Melech. And, in let's say, Western societies, Lahavdil, let's say the United States, who could become president? You know, you don't need Muvchar Belchecha. You know, you can have a president and you don't even know who his family may or may not be, you know. But in Jewish law, Lahavdil, when it says Mikerev Achecha, the extra word Mikerev tells me it's got to be Mimuvchar Sheba Achecha, and that's going to exclude a Ger, who doesn't have a Jewish mother by birth, and it's going to exclude an Eved Kanani as well, despite the fact that both the Ger and the Eved Kanani are Achicha B'mitzvahs. Nevertheless, they're excluded under the halacha, the requirement of Mimuvchar Shebachecha is a unique halacha in Malchus. On the side, I just want to mention that when we say a Ger is possible in Malchus, we're talking about a case of a child that was born after the Geris of his mother. That's a big and extra chiddush here, because if his mother is a Gioris, he's not even a Ger. But as far as Muvchar Bechecha, he's considered like a Ger because he doesn't have that yichus to have been born to a woman who was born to as a Jewess. Elameyat, the Gemara continues to barrage the Chachamim, the Rabbanan, Eved Kanani is concluded under Achicha, insofar as he's Achicha B'mitzvahs, is he Eved Kasher Liedus? Why? Dechsiv, when we want to gather and derive from Sukkim the standard, the barometer for a kosher aid, we look into the parasha, and it says in Dvarim Yutes, it says, V'hine aid sheker ha'aid sheker ana bi'achiv. And the word bi'achiv tells us that anyone who's considered bi'achiv is kosher l'hayit. And therefore he's subject to hazama in this parasha. V'hine aid sheker ha'aid Sheker ino bi achiv, because he testified against achiv. He himself is considered included in achiv, and then and only then is he kosher liedus. But Eved Kanani, according to Rabbi Yehuda, works well. He's not considered achiv because he doesn't have yuchsin, etc., etc. But according to the Rabbanan, all you need for achiv is achiv v'mitzvahs. Is then, Why should an Eved Knani not be kosher liedus? Now we know from our childhood, since the day we were born, that Eved Knani is possible liedus. But let's go back to the roots and back to the origin. According to Chachamim, it's logical to assume, unless you have a proof to the contrary, that an Eved Knani, insofar as he's included in Achiv, is included in Edus, because in the parsha of Edus it says Achiv. And we come to now a position that cannot be maintained, that an Eved Kanani should be kosher liedus. Tosfos raises an objection, because we mentioned earlier the Gemara in Chagiga establishes a gzeirah shavah lo la mi'isha, and therefore that gzeirah shavah logically should establish a psul of Eved Liedus, just like an Isha's Psul Liedus. So to an Eved, by virtue of this Gzeirah Shavah, this analogy should be Psul Liedus. And here I wanted to mention the famous sheet of the Mishnah Lamelech that the Gzeirah Shavah of La La only refers to mitzvah saseh shasman grama. If a woman is excluded from other mitzvahs or other dinim, not by virtue of mitzvah saseh shasman grama, is not included in the gzeirah shavah la la. So here, for example, the psul of an isha liedus is not included under zman grama. Eidus is not a zman grama mitzvah, if it's a mitzvah at all. Okay, it is a mitzvah, but and therefore the special limud, especially alfusa that precludes and disqualifies a woman for eidus, that's not included within the purview of the gzeirah shavah la la. Tosus himself offers a different answer. He wants to assume that la only applies lechumra, to impose upon the eved obligations, and in that sense equalize him to a woman, and take him from the level of a guy and jack him up to the level of Kadosh B'Kedushas Yisrael Inyan Chiyuvim, but not to remove his status and lower his status. And therefore, if logically we would assume that Ish, according to Chachamim, the Achiv, those words include even an Eved, then the Eved should be Kashali Liedus. You're not going to use La La to rob the Eved of his responsibilities and rights vis-a-vis Eidus. The purpose of La is to upgrade the Eved from the status of a guy all the way soaring high, but not to remove things from the guy. And therefore, the Gzeirah Shavah would not exclude and disqualify an Eved from Eidus. Again, it's a little bit strange, because keep in mind that Rabbi Yehuda excluded an Eved from the Chiyuv of Boshes because he's not Achiv. And according to Tosus Lechora, he could derive from this Gzeirah Shavah of La that just like a woman is included in Boshes, so too an Eved is included in Boshes. And in order to really answer this question, we really have to understand the relationship between the Gzeirah Shavah and the word Achiv. Again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Achiv is a miut. It's a word in the parsha of Boshes that came to be mamayit in Eved Kanani. So that I don't know in the context of Gzeirah Shavah has the power to knock off a miut. Meaning, in the absence of any knowledge or any derivations to the contrary, then the Gzeirah Shavah, in this case, would work to upgrade the Eved, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to the status of Boshes, to collect Boshes. But if we have a miut in which the Torah excluded, in the parasha of Boshes, excluded the Eved Kanani, so that's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. So now let's get back to the Gemara. The Gemara wants to know, what is the source for the Psul Eved Knani for Eidus according to the Rabbanan? Because the Parsha of Eidus requires Achiv. Anyone included under Achiv is included and qualifies for Eidus. According to Chachamim, the Eved Knani is included under Achiv. He's Achiv in Mitzvahs. Amar Ula, there's a special halacha in Eidus. Why? And that is lo motzis amrit. You cannot say that an eved is included in echov as far as eidus is concerned. Why? Right, an asil eidus, because of a kal v'chomer. In the parsha of eidus, we're going to learn a kal v'chomer, which is going to establish that an eved kanani is posel eidus. And that is v'kal v'chomer me'isha. Uma isha. Now, let's just give a little background. An isha, the Gemara at the beginning of Perek Shavuos Eidus, derives from the pasuk of v'omdu shnei ha'noshim anoshim v'lo noshim. And therefore, a woman is excluded from Eidus. And that's relevant to that sugi there about Shavuos Eidus. If you toveya someone for Eidus, if that person is not royally Eidus, then there's no chiyuv Shavuos Karban. Says the Gemara, now let's compare Isha to Eved. Again, we're always talking about Eved Kanani. Isha has a better status than that of an Eved Kanani. You talk about Kedushas Yisrael, a woman as a full-fledged Kedushas Yisrael. Now, it's true that the Eved has a partial Kedushas Yisrael, and he has the same mitzvahs as an Isha, but nevertheless, he's missing something very fundamental, as far as essential, as far as Kedushas Yisrael, and that means the Heter Lov B'Kol. And again, the Chachamim don't deny this. Even though the Chachamim include Eved Kanani under Echav insofar as he has mitzvahs, meaning he does have a Kedushas Yisrael, but that's not gonna have any impact in Eidus, because the Torah already excluded an Isha from Eidus. Ma Isha she ru'uya lovakol. Her Kedushas Yisrael is complete, and it's that much greater and supersedes vis-a-vis that of the Eved Kanani, and nevertheless, Psula Liedus is Eved She'eno Roy Lovel B'Kol. He's really got a halfway measure of Kedushas Yisrael. He cannot marry a Jewish girl. Is Eino Din She'Posel Liedus? How much more so should we assume that he's Posel Liedus? Now, it's interesting because when you think about it, an Eved Kanani, no matter what you'll say about him, at the end of the day, he's a male and not a female. And therefore, the pasuk of the Omdu Shneha Noshim, to exclude Noshim from it, this has no bearing and no application to an Eved Kanani. So that even if the Eved Kanani is Eino Roy Love of a Call, but nevertheless, according to Chacham, that's not enough to apostle him and exclude him under Echov, under Achim, because he's an Achli in mitzvahs. So now all of a sudden the Gemara is introducing the element of a Roy Love of a Call. Well, that didn't bother the Chachamim, and they assumed, for example, that an Eved Kanani can collect and sue for Boshes because he is considered Echov. And by the same token, the Chachamim could certainly understand why Zomame Eved Kanani would be Chayev Miso, Chayev Malkus, because Kashazom Lasos Liochiv. So that this psul level of call, this element of, you know what, something's missing in his Kedushas Yisrael, that didn't come to the fore here, according to the Chachamim. We were more interested in the mitzvahs that he has and the obligations he has, that of an Isha. So he has that status of Gerus, of Kedushas Yisrael. I believe that the only way of understanding this Kal V'Chomer that's presented here in the Sugya is if we understand that the exclusion of a woman for Eidus is reflective of the fact that she doesn't have certain mitzvahs. And an Eved doesn't have those mitzvahs either. The Eino Roy Lovel Kol means that whatever the Eved is lacking in mitzvahs is a result of the fact, or stems from the same identical source as the fact that Eino Roy Lovel B'Kol. There's one root here, problem with an Eved. And that root expresses itself in two different directions, two different dinim, but they both emanate from the same root. An Eved is Eino Roy Lovel B'Kol, an Eved is Potter from mitzvahs. Certain mitzvahs. Both emanate from the same root, and that is the deficiency in Kedushas Yisrael. So that the mitzvahs element, I think, here are coming to the fore. If an Isha, who has a full-fledged Kedushas Yisrael, she's part of Kal Yisrael in every sense, no less than a man, and yet she's Psul Yedus, it has to be because certain mitzvahs do not apply to a woman. And since in the mitzvah of Eidus it says V'yomdu shnei anoshim anoshim v'lo noshim, so the fact that a woman's incomplete status as far as mitzvahs is concerned, that's what kicks in here in generating a psul Eidus, and how much more so in the case of an Eved, where his incomplete mitzvahs are reflective of the fact that he is excluded from the call, meaning he's not really a full-fledged ger and he doesn't have complete Kedushas Yisrael. So the Gemara says, you know what? I have a pirch on this Kal V'Chomer. If I can only find one mitzvah that applies to the Eved Kanani that doesn't apply to the Isha, And the basis, the underlying logic of Yoh Kal Vachomer is that an ish is excluded from Eidus because of her incomplete status vis-a-vis mitzvahs, and that incomplete status is common to an Eved. Well, what if I show you that an Eved has a mitzvah and an Isha doesn't? That's going to completely undermine this Kal Vachomer. And that's what I think the Gemara is saying now. Ma'ala Isha, Shekein Eina Ru'uyla Lemila. There's one mitzvah which, even though it's not Zman Groma, again, we have to know why it's not Zman Groma, but, and a woman is yet excluded, so she doesn't have all the mitzvahs, and that's the mitzvah of Mila. That's the reason why she's Eina Kshera Lied. So the fact that she's Ptura from Mitzvah Seishas Zman Groma, that doesn't exclude her from Eidus. What excludes her from Eidus is the fact she's excluded from Mila. That's one way of saying this Gemara. Is Tomar be Eved Shu Roy Lemila. But an Eved supersedes an Isha in that sense that he has the Mitzvah of Mila. So once we find one Mitzvah of Mila, one Mitzvah that applies to an Eved, it does apply to an Isha. And if we attribute the Psul Eidus of an Isha is because of certain Mitzvahs that she's excluded from, then in the case of Eved, since he supersedes an Isha, as far as vis-a-vis one particular mitzvah at least, and that's Mila, therefore he might be kashli Eidus because of his Mila. I mean, another way of saying this Gemara is that an Eved is an Ish, and not an Isha. Maybe the psul Isha is because the Pasuk says, V'yomdu shnei anoshim, but the word anoshim does in fact include an Eved, and therefore the Gemara might argue that there's no reason to passel an Eved from Eidus. Bimanashach, if you're talking about Sheker Ino, Sheker Ha'ed, Sheker Ino be Achiv, is Dachu Koin Tachachom, he's Achiv v'mitzvahs, and therefore he's included under Ach. And if you're going to tell me, well, he's excluded like an Isha, well, an Eved is not an Isha. When the Pasuk says, V'yodu Shnei Anoshim, it includes an Eved. So we're going to have to do a better job in order to justify the halach that an Eved is possibly Eidus. Ma'ala Isha, says the Gemara, Shekein Eina. I'm sorry, that we read already. Is the Gemara says, Katan Yochiach. Don't tell me that the reason why an Isha is excluded from Eidus is because she doesn't have the mitzvah of Mila. Is Katan Yochiach. Because Yeshno Bimila Upasul Yedus. Ah, Katan Yochia. You're going to tell me that, you know what, an Eved has something over, he has an edge over an Ishan so far as he has the mitzvah of Mila, and that's going to be Machshir him Liedus. Despite the fact that he's putter from so many other mitzvahs and he can't come Lakal. Says Gemara, no. A katan is posliyedus even though he has the mitzvah of mila. The mitzvah of mila certainly applies to a katan, right? Benchmonis yamin. And yet, the Torah excludes a katan from edus under the pasuk v'yomdu shnei hanoshim. It's a gemara at the end of Babasu. It says hanoshim velo katana, meaning hanoshim means gedolim. And katanim therefore excluded from edus. Now, why should katanim be excluded from edus if they're included in the mitzvah of Mila? You're telling me that the Eved is included, he should be kashuli liedus, he should qualify as a witness. Why? Because he has the mitzvah of Mila. Well, a katan has the mitzvah of Mila, and yet he's pasul liedus. And the answer is because a katan is part of a mitzvah. And in that sense, if the Torah pasul the katan insofar as he doesn't have mitzvahs, then maybe we should apply the same logic to an Eved. He doesn't have full-fledged mitzvah. So you can tell me he has Mila. Well, the fact that you have Mila, that's a nice badge to wear on yourself. Ha ha ha, I have Mila. But that doesn't give you, that doesn't cross you over the threshold as far as kashrus liedus, because the katan is included in Mila and yet he's not kosher liedus. So the Gemara says, Mala katan she'eno b'mitzvahs. Tomer v'yevetshu b'mitzvahs. You know what? You can't derive anything from a katan. You can't say that a katan is the source or the basis, insofar as the katan is possibly Eidus, for the conclusion that an Eved is possibly Eidus, because a katan doesn't have any mitzvahs, and an Eved has almost all the mitzvahs. He has the same mitzvahs as an Isha, and therefore he has a great edge over katan, and that edge is going to project him into the parsha, into the galaxy of Eidus. He's kosher Eidus.
And the Gemara says, Isha tochiach she'ena she'yeshna b'mitzvus u'psula li'edus.
The same mitzvahs that an Eved has, the Isha has. And again, we have to see about the exception of Mila, but that's going to be where Katan Yochia. But be that as far as mitzvah is concerned, basically Isha and Eved on the same level, Lala Mi'isha. And it Isha's Psula Liedus. So what are you going to tell me? Well, the Eved can't be derived from an Isha because he has the mitzvah of Mila. Well, the mitzvah of Mila is not such a, you know, don't brag about the mitzvah of Mila because a Katan has the mitzvah of Mila and yet he's excluded from Eidus. And the answer is because a Katan doesn't have mitzvahs and Isha doesn't have mitzvahs and therefore an Eved doesn't have mitzvahs. Even though the Katan does have one mitzvah. So the Gemara says if that be the case, at this point, you cannot derive Eved, Apsul Eved for Eidus from Isha because Eved has that badge, he wears the badge of Mitzvah's Mila that an Isha doesn't. But on the other hand, you can't derive the Psul Eved Liedus from Katan because Katan doesn't have any mitzvahs. But let's do a combo job. Let's do what we call a Tzada Shava. Chazar Adin, Lo Roi Zeh Keroi Zeh, Lo Roi Zeh Keroi Zeh. So lo roi zeh keroi zeh means that individually we cannot use neither Isha per se nor Katan per se as a source, as a basis for deriving a psul Eidus in Eved Kenani, because in each case individually we're going to have the shoot down, we're going to have the pircha that if you compare Eved to Isha, well, Eved has the superior status to, as far as Mila is concerned. If you compare Eved to Katan, Eved has the superior status as far as mitzvahs in general are concerned. But if we combine forces here and we join both Isha and Katan together, we're going to have to say that the reason why the Torah passed them to Eidus is because they're missing in mitzvahs. And in that sense, an Eved is also, again, vis-a-vis Ben Chorin, he's also missing in mitzvahs. So the psul lahayit can be derived from this tzad ha-shava. The Gemara rejects the tzad ha-shava. It sounds like a very beautiful attempt. Isha v'kot? No. Malat tzad ha-shava shebahen and Isha v'katan shekein eino ish. That they both are excluded on the word ish or anoshim, right? V'yomdu shnei anoshim. So anoshim excludes isha because an isha is not an ish, and anoshim excludes a katan because a katan is not an ish. Is tomer be'eved shehu ish? I might think, therefore, that an eved is included in edus insofar as he is an ish. Ella, the Gemara says, Tesi mi Gazlan. It's a very strange Gemara. The Gemara wants to say that just like Gazlan is Pasul Yedus, under the Pasuk Al Toshes Yodcha im Rasha Leos Eid Chamas, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin Chavzai derives from this Pasuk that a Rasha HaChomes is Pasul Yedus. So Gemara says, how much more so an Eved, who is a lot worse on the totem pole that a Gazlan, in the sense that he's Eino Roy Lava Bakal, is therefore, he should certainly be possibly Eidus. Again, this Gemara is a Pella, because the reason why a Gazlan is possibly Eidus is because he's not trustworthy as far as he can throw an elephant. He's an absolute, you know, a criminal and a thief. What does that have to do with Eved? Eved's not a criminal, he's not a thief. Okay, he's Eino Roy Volokal. So compare him to an Isha with a Kal V'chomer, and then I'll tell you what an Eved has mitzvah Mila. You know, compare it to a Katan, but I'll tell you that the Eved has more mitzvahs than a Katan. But how can you possibly derive from a Gazlan? Again, and maybe this is what the Gemara means. Malik Gazlan, the Gemara slugs up this Kal V'chomer, Shekein Maisav Garmula. You know, why is he possibly Eidus? Because he did what he did. He was actively, you know, involved in theft, and he brought upon himself a psul edus of altoshes yodcha im rosh al yel seid chomos. Is Torah b'eved chain mice of garmulo? I mean, we're not going to penalize an eved for anything that he did wrong. He might be a tzaddik of an eved. Elo what? He's potter from certain mitzvahs.
Okay, he didn't do those mitzvahs because the Torah didn't impose and obligate him in those mitzvahs. But as far as the balance of the mitzvahs, maybe he's on board. He's an upright, dedicated tzaddik to the mitzvahs, and therefore maybe he should be kosher li'edus, according to Nachamim, who consider an Eved Kenani as echov. So let's see the Hemshech HaGemara. I mean, the Gemara is going to raise the obvious objection to deriving a psul edus from Gazlan. But maybe this is all a lead-on to the Gemara's attempt to use Gazlan somewhere within the equation. In fact, the Gemara malik Gazlan shekein maisov garmulo. The reason why a Gazlan is psul edus is because he did an avera that passes him liedus. And despite the fact that he's kosher love of Bakal, but nevertheless he's postulated because it's mice of atonement of the Eved. Okay, he's not kosher love of Bakal, but ain't mice of Garmulo. The Torah doesn't want to exclude the Eved because of some sort of a blemish on his record. He has no blemish on his record. He didn't steal, he didn't embezzle, he didn't perjure himself. So maybe the Eved is kosher liedus, again, because we're going koi to Chachomim that an Eved is included under Achiv. Ella, the Gemara says, you know what, you're right. I never meant to derive directly from a Gazlan. A Gazlan single-handedly is not going to teach me anything about an Eved. Ella teisi mi Gazlan umichad mi hanoch. Let's use Gazlan here, insofar as he's postulates, together with one of the other two that we mentioned that are postulates, either the Isha or the Katan. And that is to say that even though if we isolate any one of those two, an Isha or a Katan, we cannot derive a Psul Eidus B'Eved, because the reasons that we said, an Eved has a Chiyuv Mila, an Eved has mitzvahs that the Katan doesn't have, etc., etc. But nevertheless, if we have a Tzada Shaveh between a Gazlan and one of the others, namely, that in the case of one of the others, there's no azhara for all mitzvahs. Let's say an Isha has a limited amount of mitzvahs, and a Katan has no mitzvahs. A Gazlan is excluded from Eidus because of his rishus, even though he's chayav, he's muzer in all mitzvahs. The Isha, the Katan, are not mechuyev in all mitzvahs, and maybe therefore there's a certain element of, call it deficiency, as far as Eidus is concerned. And an Eved is also not Muzar in all the mitzvahs, because he's only chayv in mitzvahs like an Isha, and therefore he should be posul yedus. This is a team effort between Gazlan and Isha, or Gazlan and Katan. And the case of Gazlan, we're going to say that he's posul yedus, even though he's chayv in all mitzvahs and he's royal level akol, how much more so in Eved. Eli, we're going to say that a Gazlan has this element of rishus, of mice of kagarmulo. Well, that element is lacking in Isha, and yet she's psul liedus because she doesn't have all the mitzvahs. So at the end of the day, the Eved, since he has both A, that he's not royal level akol, and B, he's not chayv in all mitzvahs, we want to put him low on the totem pole as far as edus is concerned. However, Mar Bered Ravina has an alternative source for the psul of an Eved in Eidus, and presumably something that even the Chachamim could accept, despite the fact that according to Chachamim, the Eved is included under Achiv. And this next piece of Gemara is gonna occupy us for a little bit of a while here until we get to Peiches Amid Beis, pretty much, the Sugi of Cherishot V'Katan. And a lot of the balance of this Sugi here on the bottom of Peiches Amid Aleph is Drushos. And you know that I'm not the world's expert on Drushos here. The Gemara is going to really look at one Pasuk, a Reish and a Sefer, with a fine tooth comb, you know, with a very fine magnifying glass, and go really into detail. The Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, Dvarim Chavdal, Lo Yumsu Avos Albon. Now, what does this mean? So, Alpipashtus, the straightforward meaning is that in Eidus, a relative cannot testify
on behalf or against his relative. So for example, a son cannot testify against his own father because of their kirva, their relationship. However, Mar Bered Ravina wants to darshan an additional conclusion, derive an additional conclusion from this pasuk, lo yumsu al pi avos she'ein lehem chayis bonim. Now, as we look at this pasuk and we talk about avos, and we want to say that no one in Beis Din could be put to death based on the testimony of a certain kind of an avos. What kind of an av is being excluded from lo yumsu, from edus? And that is, leaving out the albanim now, the avos has to be avos sheyesh lehem banim. Again, so we're not talking about the testimony of an av against his son or a son against his father. We're talking about the testimony of a father against someone else. And we're saying that this father, insofar as he is a father to banim, he has the relationship, the yichus of banim and avos, he is included under avos. But if there is an avos without banim, meaning the ben is not miyuchas to aviv, that's the case of Eved Kenani, then he's not lo yum, so he's not included under avos. Now, what is the real basis of this drasha? Says the Gemara, de'isal kedaitach kida amrinan lo yumsu avos al banim be'edus banim, meaning if you're going to tell me that this pasuk exhausts itself in presenting the halacha, the principle, as the Gemara derives it in Sanhedrin Chav Zayin from this pasuk of edus banim, that the father cannot be put to death based on the testimony of his son, which means the psul krovim liedus, if that's all the Torah wants to teach me, is lichtov rachmana, the Torah should have written, again, we're looking at this pasuk with father, let's see if we can survive this, lo yumsu avos al b'nehem, which means that banim, who are the b'nehem of those avos, mentioned in the pasuk, krovim, cannot be edim against their avos and cause the condemnation of the avos in a Beis Din to be put to death. Umay, but why did the Torah use the word banim and not bnehem? Meaning, again, if we're talking about a direct relationship, a kirva relationship between the ben and the av, it should have said bnehem. And my impression is that all over Tanakh, if you're talking about avos, then the flip side of avos in terms of the relationship is going to be bnehem, or right, lo yumsu avos al bnehem, meaning their children, their sons, should not be able to testify against them. The word banim is what we call stam. It almost cuts off the connection between the banim at the end of this pasuk and the lo yumsu avos at the beginning of the pasuk. Meaning, it's not the banim who are testifying on the avos, but rather it's banim, meaning it's avos who have banim. To lo yumsu al pi avos she'ein lehem chayis banim. So again, the thrust of the diuk here of Mar Bered Ravina is the fact that it doesn't say bnehem, because when you're talking about children, in this case sons, as relatives of their father, then, let's say we have the fathers here, the children here, the children are described, and the term is used, b'nehem. Here it says banim. Banim means a separate thing, that the avos have to have banim. That's what it means. Not that the banim are testifying against their avos in psul kurva. Yes, that is also included in this pasuk. But beyond that, the word banim as opposed to b'nehem is coming to teach me that the avos that we're dealing with in the parasha of Eidus are avos that have banim, to the exclusion of Eved Kenani. Well, now the Gemara is not happy with it. Ela me'ata, if you're telling me that the pasuk of lo yumsu avos al banim is coming to teach me that Eved Kenani is pasul Eidus, let's look at the second half, the seif of this very same pasuk. It says, ubanim lo yumsu al avos.
Okay, so let's apply your logic to the sefer of this pasuk. Hachinami, are we going to say lo yumsu al pi bonim she'en lehem chayis avos? In other words, people who are not miyuchas to their father, they have no yichas to their father. The son is, until now we're talking about fathers that don't have yichas to their children, to their sons. Now we're flipping it around in the end of the pasuk and we're saying, well, what about sons that don't have a yichus of their father? They're excluded from Eidus. Ella, and that's going to be the case of a ger. Is Hachinami the pasuk l'Eidus? Shall we conclude something which is absolutely ridiculous and totally incorrect, that a ger is pasuk l'Eidus? Why? Because the pasuk requires yichus in both directions. It requires someone who has yichus to his children, that's avos to the bonim, to the exclusion of Eved Kenani, but it also requires bonim who have yichus to their father in the sefer, bonim lo yumsal avos. And in the case of a ger, he has no yichus to his father, because ger shem is gai kakotin shenolad domi. Or, for example, the pasuk Yechezkel, the zirmasusim zirmasam, which means that there's no yichus in the case of a guy. A guy doesn't have yichus to a Jew. And here also, the ger doesn't have yichus to his father, who's not Jewish. And if that be the case, then he should be excluded from Eidus under the pasuk Ubarim lo yum salavos, meaning we need a ben, and a ger is not miyuchas liaviv. Again, his children, the ger's children are miyuchas to the ger, but not, you can't say that the ger is miyuchas to his father. So the Gemara answers, Amri, hachi hashta. In other words, you want to say what you want to say, that a ger should have the same din of an eved and should possibly yedus based on this drashas. The answer is ger nehidi ain lo chayis lamala, but lamala yesh lo chayis. Even though a ger is not related to his father, but he is related to his children, and that's why he's kosher liyedus lafuki eved di ain lo chayis lo lamala v'lo lamata. An eved has no yichus in either direction. He's not miyuchas to his father because he's a ger. He's not miyuchas to his children because he's an eved. And therefore, we would have to say that the avos she'en lehem chayis bonim is coming lafuke the case of an eved. Well, actually, avos she'en lo chayis lebonim is the eved case, because the Torah itself requires for Eidus an av sheyesh lo chayis leponim, but an eved who ain't is an av sheyesh lo chayis leponim, is therefore he's posel Eidus. But a ger has a yichus to his own children, therefore he's not excluded. And the Gemara now tries to prove this logic, that from this posel you cannot possibly derive that a ger is posel Eidus. The Isak Adaitach, ger posliedus, if you're going to say that we should darshan the sefer of the pasuk in the same style that we darshan the resha, and then when it says in the sefer bonim lo yumsu al avos, it means bonim sheyesh lahem yichus li aviv, as opposed to a ger has no yichus to his father's lichtov rachmona, then the Torah should have said lo yumsu avos al b'nehem. And then we would have derived from that part of the pasuk lichadam rinon shlo yumsu bi edus bonim lichtov rachmon. In the beginning of the pasuk, as we said, this was the basis of the diuk of Mar Berei de Ravina, namely that it should have said in the pasuk lo yumsu avos al bnehem, which means that we talk. Let the Reisha teach us nothing more than lichadam rinon, what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin shlo yumsu bi edus abonim, meaning that bonim or krovim apostle to testify on their krovim, and nichtov rachmona in the sefer of the pasuk, it should say ubonim lo yumsu al avos, as it says deshamet minei trei. And now we could go in both directions: chadah shlo yumsu bonim biedus avos, veidach shlo yumsu al pi bonim she'en lehem chayis avos, and that would exclude a ger, and it would exclude an eved, because both a ger and an eved have this common description, this profile of bonim shein lehem chayis liyavos, right? Bonim who are not related to their father. In the case of a ger, that's clear. In the case of an eved, that's clear. So then, again, if you want to tell me, as your kasha was, that, you know, by the same token they have the ratio to exclude an eved, we should have the safer to exclude a ger, then you know what? The pasuk, and we go back to our original diyuk, the pasuk should have said, lo yumsu avos al bneihem. And from the sefer, ubanim lo yumsu al avos, we could have derived in both directions. Vi eved nafkale bekavachome miger, ma ger, dilamala hu dien lo chayis, avalamati yesh lo chayis, is possibly, this is eved, she ain lo chayis lo lamala v'lo lamata, eno din shaf, she posiliedus. You know, the case of an eved is a lot worse than the case of a ger. At least the ger has yichus lamata in terms of his children. An eved doesn't even have that. Oh. So now the Gemara concludes that ger is koshliedus. Ella, for sure, we have to assume, mi de kosav rachmono lo yumsu avos al bonim, from our original diuk in the ratio that it says bonim and it doesn't say bneihem, demashma lo yumsu al pi edus avos she'en lo chayis bonim. In other words, excluding Eved Knani from edus because he doesn't have yichus to his child, he's not avos with yichus chayis to bonim. And if that be the case, we're not going to derive it from a kavachom from ger, because a ger himself is koshli. This is shma minoa. Eved she'en lo chayis lo lamal lo matahu de posli. This fell ger. Came the yesh lo chayis lo matah koshli edus. So again, all this is based on the fact that it should have said b'nehem. And the sefer of the pasuk, namely, Banim lo yum sal avos, would have excluded ger, and from ger we would have had a kavachomer to eved. From the fact that it's not written that way, but rather it says in the resha banim, we're going to assume that the Torah just wanted to exclude eved and only eved, exclusively eved, but not ger. Insofar as an eved has no yichus whatsoever, whereas a ger has at least yichus lamata. V'chi tema. And if you'll come along and still ask the question that maybe ger should be possibly edus, because lichtov rachmana ubonim lo yumsu al avoseim, again, the flip side of bonim should be avoseim, that's the appropriate language that should have been used, and that would have been a reference to the avos of those bonim that are mentioned in the pasuk, instead of stam. Is lomali the kasav rachmana ubanim lo yumsu al avos in a stam way? It must be the mashma shlo yumsu al pi banim shein lem chayis li avos, which means we're excluding gerim. And the Gemara answers no. Aidi the kasav, since in the beginning of the pasuk the Torah says lo yumsu avos al banim, and it doesn't say bneim, and that's coming to exclude an eved because he has no yichus to his banim. It's kasav nami the Torah in the sefer to of this pasuk to follow the symmetry, writes ubanim lo yumsu al avos, when it really should have said avoseihem. So again, the Gemara wanted to be medayik from the fact that it doesn't say avoseihem that a ger is being excluded, but now the Gemara is saying that the reason it doesn't say avoseihem is because the Torah in the sefer of the pasuk wanted to maintain the symmetry and the mirror imagery of the ratio, where the ratio says avos, so therefore the sefer is also going to say avos. Now, at this point, we are ready for a whole new section in the Gemara. We don't have that much time, but at least let's make a haskola. Cheri shot v'katan, the Mishnah tells us, back on Pei Zayin, is p'giyasan ra, which means that if we damage them, we have to pay. If they damage us, there's no collection. In the case of Eved v'Isha, also Pgios and Ra, there if someone damages them, let's say for example somebody assaults an Eved or an Isha, he has to pay. But if they assault someone else, is they don't have to pay. Again, they'll pay later on down the line. For example, if the Eved is mishtachrer or the Isha is misgarsha, and then she has her own financial base, or the Eved after Shukra has his own financial base, then he'll have to pay up. And the Pgyasan Ra here of Isha V'Eved is only a temporary one until, you know, as long as they don't have any independent financial status, any bank account. So now the Gemara tells us a story which doesn't, at least not initially or obviously, bear on any relationship to our Mishnah of Eved V'Isha. But we'll find a link to it at the very end. Emirtz Hashem. I don't know if we'll do that today, but if not today, tomorrow, Emirtz Hashem, we need it. So the story is about Imei Derav Shmuel Bar Abba Hagronya. So there's a woman who is the mother of Rav Shmuel. Havi Nos Nisivale L'Rabbi Abba. And she married Rabbi Abba. So now we have the case of Rav Shmuel's father. Rav Shmuel is the son. The mother is unnamed. She is anonymous. And she's married to Rabbi Abba. Again, there's a whole discussion here about whether this is a first marriage. Rav Shmuel was the son of Rabbi Abba. It sounds like Bepashas, Rav Shmuel is the son of Rabbi Abba. Okay. Anyway, here's the punchline of the story. Kisavtinu l'nichsei l'Rav Shmuel bar Abba bra. Now let's explain. A woman brings into the marriage a dowry or whatever possessions that she owns, and those are called nichsei melug. The Takanas Ksuba has it that the husband will enjoy the any benefits or any profits that accrue from this. These nechassim, the guf, meaning the kinyan aguf of the karka of the nechassim, is owned by the isha, even within the context of marriage. And therefore, if she wants to guarantee that at the end of the day, let's say after she dies, her son will inherit, and let's say there may be other children from another wife or whatever, she wants to make sure that her nechassim, what we call nichsei melug, that she brought into the marriage, will be inherited by her son after she passes away. So she writes a shtar, and that shtar testifies to the fact that she entered into this das machna, this contractual agreement in which her nechassim, her nichsei melug, will be transferred, will be inherited by her son with her death, and only by her son. Now, keep in mind that what she's doing, in effect, is she's cutting out her husband. Because again, if she dies, her husband really should inherit her, and therefore the har nichsei meluk should become his. But he can't inherit her because during her lifetime, she already entered into contractual agreement transferring ownership over her nechassim with her death to her son. Now, Basa Deshchiva, when she actually died, okay, and here we're turning to Daf Peches Amid Beis, Azel Rav Shmuel Bar Abba Kamei Derav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Rav Shmuel shows up in front of Rav Yirmiyah with a shtar, and that shtar testifies that he inherits his mother's nichsei melug. Okmei b'nichsei. So Rabbi Yirmiyah Paskin, that Eino Chinami, the shtar is a valid shtar, and it gives and grants rights to Rabbi Shmuel, the son, in his mother's nechassim. And in effect, he's taking the nechassim out of the rishus of his father, of Rabbi Abba. And that's okay, because his mother made such an agreement with regard to her nechsei melug that she owns. And therefore, at this point in the story, Rav Yirmiyah awards the karka of nechsei melug after the death of the mother to the son, Rav Shmuel Bar Abba. And now Rav Abba, the father, is cut out of these nechassim. Bazal Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba is not happy with this psak. The Amr Lemilsi tells over the whole story with the psak. Kami the Rav Oshia, the also Rav Oshia, the Amr Kami the Rav Yehuda. So ultimately, this whole story and this whole issue comes in front of Rav Yehuda. Amr Le Rav Yehuda says, Hachi Amar Shmuel. So again, we're going back a generation to Shmuel. Ha Isha Shemachra Benichse Melug Bechai Baila Umesa. If a woman enters into this contractual agreement, selling as it were her nixei maluk, but she dies before her husband, abal motzi miyad alakuchos. In other words, the way that the halacha works is such that she cannot cut out her husband, and therefore, when she dies, the baal will reclaim ownership on nixei maluk. So if a woman during the course of her marriage sells her nixei maluk to a lokeach, the Takanas Chachom has it that the Baal is considered the first lokeach as far as nixei maluk of his wife is concerned. He comes before all the kuchos. And therefore, here too, in the case where the mother of Rav Shmuel gave her son a shtar, passing ownership, as it were, over to the son, his status is that of a lokeach. And Rabbi Abba, her husband, is the first lokeach. He has first rights. Amruad, so they went back, Kami de Rav Yirmi of Bar Abba, to tell Rav Yirmi of Bar Abba about Rav Yehuda's psak. Amalehem, I want to defend my understanding that the Baal does not have rights to be motzi from the lokeach, and that Rav Shmuel therefore received this matana from his mother, and that excludes the husband, because ana masnisa yadana. I know a mishnah at the beginning of, or I should say at the end of, Baba Basra, the snan, the mishnah in Baba Basra Kuflamid Vav, codifies the following halacha: kosev nechasov libno. If a person is makne his nechasim to his son, or to anyone else for that matter, which means me'ayom li'acharmoso, you always have to add the word me'ayom because you can't be makne to something after your death. So the gufa nechasim belong to that person, to his son or to whoever he gave it to, but the use of this karka, in other words, the peros of the karka, will only be transferred after the death of the father. Again, in the case where the father writes his nechasim to his ben. Because what he's telling the son is, you know, it's mine as long as I'm alive, it's yours after my death. And in such a case, the din is that the guf of the karka belongs to the ben even now. The father, again, retains for himself the rights to the peros, which he continues until the last day of his life, but as far as the guf hakarka is concerned, the guf hanechasim, they were transferred to the ben, and therefore, after this father dies, the ben now takes over the achilus peros, since that's what he was missing. So, since during the life of the father, the bailus is split between two people, the guf belongs to the ben, because the father transferred ownership over the guf hakarka to his son. The peros, though he retained for himself, is a ben ein yochel limkar and a av ein yochel limkar. Neither of the two could sell it. Why can't the ben sell it? Mipnei shehem b'rishus av, because the father has ownership rights in this karka, and the son cannot undermine those ownership rights. If the son were, for example, to sell this karka on the market, he would be undermining his father. His father has the kinyan peros, so he can't sell it because he doesn't own the peros. Ha'av, on the other hand, any yochel limkar, he can't sell them totally. Why? Mipnei shehein ksuvim leben, because he's already given a matana to the ben, and the ben was kona the guf hakarka. So at the end of the day, neither of the two of them can sell the karka. Meaning the totality of this karka. Neither one could sell both guf and peros, because the father owns the peros and the son owns the guf. However, each one could sell his chelek, and therefore, machar ha'av, if the father sells
the nechasim mechurim, meaning the lokeach could now acquire ownership on the peros, ad sheyamos, until the father dies. Those are the zchuyos that the father has. Now, once the father dies, then the son who had the guf haperos now automatically expands his ownership, and he now owns the peros as well. Machar HaBen, let's say the son who has only the goof, he sells the nechasim. Ein la lelokeach ad sheyomos ha'av. The son cannot undermine the father's rights, ownership rights to peros, and therefore if the son sells these nechasim, again he owns the goof but he doesn't own the peros, then the lokeach cannot enjoy the peros, but it says ad sheyomos ha'av. Up until, or let's put it this way, as long as the father is alive. So Rabbi Yirmiyah now has a perfect diuk over here. Because kimayis av, apparently the Mishnah holds that once the father dies, then since the ben has rights to the peros with the death of his father, is mia islei lelokeach. Now the lokeach has a full-fledged absolute total kinyan on this karka. He bought the gufa karka or received the gufa karka from the ben, that's fine. And now once the ben receives the peros with the death of his father, then the kinyan automatically expands itself to the lokeach to include the peros as well. The afal gav, and this would seem to apply even in a situation where the meis haben b'chayav, if the ben died before his father died. So the ben never actually materialized his kinyan on the peros, because his father was alive at the time that he died, the ben. But nevertheless, delo osuli de ben, even though the peros never came into the possession of the ben, nevertheless, the mekach in which he sold to lokeach the entire karka, guf, and peros will be chal after the death of the father. And we'll soon see how this will establish Rav Yirmiyah's proof for Rav Yirmiyah's psak in the case that we were dealing with, where she sold her nichsei malug or gave it to her son, and then she died before her husband. And Rav Yirmiyah paskin that the son now, with the death of his father will now inherit everything. But before the Gemara actually explicates the analogy between the Mishnah and Bava Basra and its conclusion, and the conclusion of Yirmiyah in our case of the mother who gave a shtar to her son for Nixei Malug, first, the Gemara wants to clarify Rabbi Yirmiyah's understanding of the Mishnah and Bava Basra. And it says, Ki Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. It's like Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. What is Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish? Say, the Omar, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says about the Mishnah in Bava Basra, Lo Shna Mes HaBen B'Chayav, Lo Shna Delo Asi Lidei DeBen, Velo Shna Mes HaAv B'Chayav Ben, Di Asu Lidei HaBen, Kana Lokeach. Reish Lakish explicitly spells it out that it matters not who died first, the father or the son. Even if the son dies first and he never actually materialized his kinyan on the peros because his father's well alive, nevertheless when he dies the ben, it doesn't matter, the kinyan to the lokeach is absolutely complete. Again, if the father died first and the ben inherited now the peros, then everything is clear. Then for sure the kana lokeach. But the chiddush here of Reish Lakish is that the kana lokeach applies even if the father died after the son, which means that at the time that the son died, he didn't yet materialize, you know, in a concrete way his kinyan on peros. But it doesn't matter. He could sell the guf, and the guf automatically expands to include the peros as long as the bala peros, in this case the father, dies. And Reish Lakish's view is not universally accepted. That's not the only way of interpreting this Mishnah. De Itmar, we learned a machlokas as to how to understand this Mishnah in Bava Basra. Again, the son sold his nechassim that he received from his father. His Eimlo, the Mishnah says, Eimlo lokech ad sheyomos ha'av. Right? And it doesn't say explicitly what's the law of Machar HaBen B'chayav U'mes HaBen B'chayav. That's not spelled out. If the son dies during his father's lifetime, is Rabbi Yochanan Omar Lo Konalokech Reish Lokesh Omar Konalokech? Rabbi Yochanan says that there's no validity to this kinyan, which means that Af Shalo Chala Mechir Areya Ben. Okay, fine. And why is there no chalos this mechir? Because the son never actually was kona the karka in terms of peiros. But Reish Lakish disagrees, and we said that Rabbi Yirmiyah accepts Reish Lakish. The Gemara now clarifies what is the fundamental issue that lies at the heart of this machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Kona Lo Keach. Why? Again, in the case where the son died first before his father, Omar Lecha, he'll tell you Ki Ketani Mas Nisim. When the Mishnah speaks about Machar Ben is Lo Kana Lokeach Ad Sheyomos Ha'av, that the Lokeach is not Kona until the father dies, which means, implies, Ki Meis Mayis Ha'av Isla Lokeach will be Kona. At the time that the father dies, then lokech bikona the peros of this karka. That's only the lo mes haben b'chayav. Why the asuli there then? If the father dies first, then the son inherits the father. Now he has a kinyan on peros, and therefore he can sell to this lokech the karka and all the schuyos in the karka, meaning the peros as well, and that lokech can be zochah in the peros. But if the son dies first, before his father, de lo asu lide de ben, that these peros never were acquired by the son, is ki mayis av nami lesle lokech, even when the father dies, again subsequent to the ben, the lokech did not establish his ownership over the peros. Why? Alma Kasavar, because Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that Kinyan Peros ki Kinyan Aguf Dami. When someone owns Peros, that's as if he owns part of the Guf. He doesn't just own this abstract rights to enjoy the benefits of the object, but he has possession rights in the object itself, and therefore he can block the other owner, the owner of the Guf, from selling it. And that's called Kinyan Peros ki Kinyan Aguf Dami. So the Guf HaNechasim are also shaykh to the father, not just exclusively to the ben. And therefore, these Nechasim cannot be sold during the lifetime of the father. And therefore, the ben only has a schus to receive the Nechasim after his father's death. And since he, the ben, died before his father, is the Chizavin, Lavdi Dezavin, that which he sold the ben during his father's lifetime, is not really a sale at all. He's not selling something which is his, he's selling something which belongs to his father. And therefore the lokech is not zocha even after the misa of the father. Rav Shimon Lakish Omer, he disagrees with Rav Yochanan, and he holds that with the death of the father, kana lokech, and ki ketani mas nisin machar ben, if the son sells it during his father's life, then ein la lokeach ad sheyomus ha'av. When does lokeach actually materialize his rights? That's only after the death of the father, which implies the chimaisi of mias isle lokeach. Lokeach now acquires ownership over the peiros of this karka with the death of his father. Veloshna lo mes haben b'chayav di asuli yodi de ben. Loshna mes haben b'chayav di lo asuli de ben. Liadi de ben is in all cases kana lokeach. After all, says Rav Shimon Lakish, the Mishnah did not qualify and limit to a case father died first and the son inherited the peros. The stimas loshna mishnah. The mishnah didn't qualify. It's apparently in all cases the mekach to the lokech is a valid mekach, even if the son dies first. Alma kasov reish lokech of the opinion kinyan peros lav kinyan aguftami, meaning the ownership of the peros that is exclusively the father's during his lifetime does not undermine and preclude the kinyan, the baal kinyan aguf, in this case the son, to be makna the karka. Kinyan HaPeres is like a separate abstract schus. He has a schus to collect, but it's not in the cheftz itself. V'chicha zavin didekha zavin. So therefore, when the son sold his nechasim during the lifetime of his father, he sold his own properties. Even though he dies first, nevertheless lokeach is zocha li'achar misas ha'av. Because the ben had an exclusive kinyan aguf even before his father's death. The Gemara now brings this halacha down to our case of the mother who sold Nichsei Malug. Va'anan hashta bein Rabbi Yirmi Baraba bein Rabbi Yehuda ki Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish sfirulei. It means even if the father dies first, I'm sorry, even if the son dies first and the father is survives him, nevertheless lokech zocha b'peros after the father dies, because kinyan peros eino kinyan aguf. Uka'amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Rabbi Yirmiyahu paskind in favor of Shmuel, the son, now is going to put forth a solid proof from the Mishnah. And he says the following: to isal kedaitoch kinyan peros kikinyan aguftami. If you'll hold in this Mishnah like Rabbi Yochanan understood it, is ki mayis av if the father dies, umayis haben bechaya of is amai islay lokeach. If the son who sold his karka to lokeach bechaya of dies before his father, then if you're telling me Kinyan Peres, Kinyan Guftami, why does Lokech get anything? Why does the Mishnah tell me that with the death of the father, Lokech is Zochan the Peros? Since the father in his lifetime had a Kinyan Peros, then he blocks the Kinyan and the Hakna power of the Bala Guf, which is the Ben. Is ki kazavin hai, when this son sold the nechasim, is lavdi de kazavin. He doesn't, kazavin, he didn't own it in order to sell it. Because, as we said before, the kinyan peros is ki kinyan aguftami. Elo lav, shmami no, kinyan peros lav ki kinyan aguftami. From the fact that the Mishnah says that Kona lokeach, the lokeach, when the father dies, will be kona, it means that the sale was a valid sale. And how could the son sell this property to the lokeach if kinyan ha-peros, kinyan ha-guf, and the father has kinyan peros? Kinyan peros lav kinyan ha-guf, domi lav shmami. No, we have to conclude that this mission is of the opinion that kinyan peros lav kinyan ha-guf, and therefore, even though the peros belong to the father, the son can still sell the guf. The mekach, the sale, is absolutely binding, even if the son dies before his father. And let's derive from this din, the din in the case of the woman who sold her nichsei muluk to her son. So the son can sell the property despite the kinyan peres of the father, because kinyan peres lafki kinyan guf. The mekach is valid, and therefore, in the case of Reb Shmuel, she owns the nitzim aluk, she owns the guf, even though her husband owns the peros. Nevertheless, she can be makna her kinyan in such a way, her ownership rights, her bailus over the nitzim aluk, over the guf of the nechasim, and in such a way, the baal continues to eat peros as long as she's alive, but that doesn't mean that the nechasim belong to the father, and the woman can sell them or give them away as a matana to her son, and the son therefore will be zocha after she dies, even if she dies before the baal.
And even though she never actually materialized her kinyan on the peros, because she died before the husband, nevertheless, the matan is chal, and therefore, the ben can sell, and just like I'm saying in the analogy, in the mashal, the ben can sell the goof hakarka, even though he dies first, and he never was sold from the peros, so too she can sell her nichsei malug, even though she died first and she was never zocha in the peros. And that's all based on the principle of Reish Lakish, which Rabbi Yirmiyah adopts, is kinyan peros lav kinyan aguftami. Now the Gemara quotes a response of Rabbi Yehuda, who argues with Rabbi Yirmiyah. Adrua, when they brought back Rabbi Yirmiyah's logic, his argument, lekami the Rabbi Yehuda, in front of Rabbi Yehuda, amar lehu hachi amar Shmuel. Here's the way Shmuel understood that Mishnah in Bava Basra. Mishnah Zu, in the case of the father who writes his nechasim to his ben, Eino Doma leMishnah Sein, should not be compared to our Mishnah. Mishnah Sein here means our Nidon, our case of a woman who wrote her nechasim, her nichsei maluk to her son. My time, what's the distinction? And here the Gemara is going to quote Rav Yosef's understanding. Abai is going to reject Rav Yosef until finally the Gemara is going to quote at the end of Peches Amid Beis the Takonas Usha. So let's first understand the way Rav Yosef understood the distinction between the Mishnah in Bava Basra and our case of Nichsei Malug. Bishlema itana ipcha. If the Tana of the Mishnah would have said it in the other way around, it would have said Hakosev Nechasov Li Aviv, which means that the shtar, the matana, was given that the father should be zocha to the guf hanechasim now, and then after the son dies, the father will be zocha even in the peros, in that direction, and then the father would sell his nechasim during the lifetime of his son, is then the lokeach would be kone, and Reish Lakish would say, well, even if the father died before the son, and the father never actually got the peros, nevertheless, he could be makne to the lokeach the peros for liachem misas haben, so that the lokeach would be kone them with the death of the son. Then, ikal imifshat mine, then it would be a comparable case, because you could derive the conclusion that kinyan peros lav kinyan aguftami. And the reason for that would be that how could the father sell these nechasim during the lifetime of his son, since his son owns the peros? We would have to assume that kinyan peros lav kinyan aguftami. And then we could derive conclusions as far as our case of Nechsei Malug, but Elahashta, but now our case in the Mishnah is not that way. Again, it wasn't the son who wrote Nechasim to his father, retaining Peres for himself. Elahashta, the Ketoni, Akosim, Nechasim, the Bno, it was the father who wrote the Nechasim to his son. That's where Reish Lakish says that if the son would sell the Nechasim, even though he died before his father died, then the lokeach could be zocha in the peros after misav. Why? Mishum deroy liyorshahu. You can ask the following question: what was the purpose? What was the objective of the father by writing the nechasim to his son? And after all, even without this matana to his son, the son will eventually, with the death of his father, inherit his father. And, you know, we have a general principle that people don't do things that are meaningless. You know, like, Einon Emotzi Dvarim B'Telem Mipiv. So therefore, it cannot be that the Kavanah of the father, with this Matana, is that the Ben would only inherit the father after his death, because he'll inherit the father after his death without this Matana. So what was the purpose of this Matana? Why did he write his Nechasa to his son? By process elimination, the only conclusion that we could derive to is that he wanted to give the son a kinyan on the guf hanechasim, such that the son could sell it now, even b'chaya'av. That was the whole purpose of what the father tried to achieve over here. That was his das makne. And therefore, when the son in fact sells the nechasim, the mechira is an absolute valid binding mechira, even if the son would die before his father.
But in the case of Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, that svar is totally inapplicable. The Baal has a kinyan peiros on the nichsei melug of his wife, and that is kinyan aguf dami. And therefore he has a right to block her ability to give a matana to, in this case, Rav Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Abba. And that matana is not valid. You can't be mocked to something that belongs to someone else. And since the kinyan peros, kinyan aguf, belong to the husband, therefore the kinyan is invalid. And Abai doesn't like Rav Yosef's approach to explain Rav Yehuda and to explain Shmuel. Amalei Abaye turns to Rav Yosef and he says, if you're telling me that the reasoning here of Shmuel to distinguish between these two cases is because it all depends who wrote the Nechassim, and if a person writes Nechassim to his ben, and since the ben is royally Yorsho, so then why did the Mishnah deal with the case of a ben Shekosim Nechassim Li'aviv is Atu Bra Yoris Abba Abba Lo Yoris Bra? In fact, it works two ways. To the same extent that a son inherits his father, that a son inherits his father, the father inherits his son. Again, if the son never dies, Bechai Aviv, and the son himself has no Yorshim, he doesn't have any children, it's the father who Yarshins his son. And therefore, even if the Mishnah would have mentioned the case of someone who a son who wrote his nechassim to his father, there would still be no proof that kinyan peros is not like a kinyan aguf. We could have said that the reason why this kinyan is valid is since when the son writes his nechassim to his father, since the father in any way is asid, he's roy lirosh, even without this loreshes, even without this matana, therefore the kavan of the ben was to be marked in the nechassim in such a way that the father would immediately, now, even during the lifetime of the son, gain a full-fledged kinyan in such a way that he could sell it. He didn't want to give the kinyan to his father, Liachar Misasa, because he's anyway royally Yorsho. Ella, but rather, the reason why the Mishnah didn't mention that case, Chosav Nechosav Liaviv, where the son wrote a Shtar Matan to his father, because had the Mishnah mentioned that case, we would have interpreted that Mishnah as referring to a case where the Ben has his own Ben, who has preference in the Seder HaYerusha to his father. Because when a Ben dies, the father doesn't inherit him if that Ben has his own Bonim. And therefore we would say that the reason why he wrote Nechosim to his father is not so that his father could inherit or should make a kinyan immediately, an absolute kinyan, but rather lavruchinu lenichse mibreikasi. For some reason, he wants to cut out his son from the Yerusha, so that after his death, he, the son, which is the grandson in this case, would not inherit his father, but rather his father, the grandfather, would inherit him, and therefore the father could sell the nechassim. And why is that? Even without, though he could have inherited these nechassim even without the matana of his son. So if not for the fact that the ben gave this matana, the father would not yarshin, would not inherit this property because he has a son. And yet, the father could sell the property based on this matana that his son gave him. We see clearly that kinyan peros is not kinyan aguf, meaning that even though the son owns the peros and he wants to retain the peros, nevertheless, the father could go ahead and sell these nechassim based on the matana, the shtar matana that the father received from the son. Is Hachinami Lafrachinu Liavruchinu Lenichse Meachuyasi. So too in the Mishnah, which the Tana of the Mishnah formulates in terms of Kosev and the Chosev Libno, we could interpret it the same way, that his intention when he, the father, wrote this Shtar Matan to his son was that the son should be zochez in these nechassim
only after his death, but not during his lifetime. And even though the ben is royally Yorsha without this matana, never, and therefore l'chora the matana is totally superfluous and unnecessary, as you asked, but nevertheless, you're going to have to tell me that the father, yesh la'av zeh bonim no sofem ruim liyorsha, that this father wanted to cut out the other sons who could also yarsha in this property, and the reason why he wrote the nechassim to this ben was because he wanted to be mavriach the nechassim from the rest of his of the brothers of this ben, that he that they should not participate in this yerusha, and that the ben this particular ben exclusively should inherit him. And since the Mishnah says that the ben has the power to sell the property during his father's lifetime, is we see clearly, like Reish Lakish, that even if the son would die before the father, nevertheless the kinyan is valid, the mekach is valid, the lokeach could be zochin and chasim after the misa'av, and the reason for that is Reish Lakish must be based on the fact that kinyan peiros of the father is not kinyan aguf, and therefore it's not ma'akiv the ben from selling the nechasim, and the nechasim are a complete valid sale. And if that be the case, we now have reinstated the raya, the proof of Rabbi Yirmiya, that even in the case where the Baal owns kinyan peros in the nechsei malug of his wife, nevertheless kinyan peros eino kinyan aguf, and just like the father cannot be the akev his son, once he gave him that matana, from selling the nechassim, so to the Baal cannot be miyakiv his wife from selling the nechassim the nechassim elug to her son, and therefore after she dies, the son should be zochin in the nechassim. So therefore, Abai now turns around and has to offer an alternative explanation as to why Shmuel is not willing to derive any conclusions from this Mishnah in Baba Basra to the case of Nechsei Malug. Elamai, the reason why Shmuel refuses to accept the analogy to the Mishnah, and the reason why the Mishnah holds that a ben could sell the Nechassim and the Mechir is Chal, even if the ben dies before the father, is Eina Doma L'Mishnah Seinu. That's not a fair equation to have Mishnah. Why? Mishum takonis usha. Because in the case of Nechsei Malug, we have the takon of usha. The Yomer of Yossi, Bar Chanina beusha iskinu, ha'isha shemachra b'nechsei Malug b'chai baila, umesa, is habal motzi miyad alakuchos. If a woman sells her Nechsei Malug during her husband's lifetime, and then she dies, even though during the lifetime of the woman, the Baal only had a kinyan peros, which is not kinyan aguf, nevertheless, the Baal could be motzi miyad alakuchos. The Chachamim gave a chizuk, so to speak, to the shibu nechasim of the kinyan peros of Nechsei Malug, and they made him the husband into lokeach rishon, in such a way that if his wife dies during his lifetime, he will be able to guarantee that he has rights to the nechassim and take it out of the hands of the lekuchos. And the reason why that takana was made is to make sure that the Baal, if he hates his wife, he won't try to force her or pressure her into selling the nechassim. Let me say that a little differently. The reason why this takana was made, that the Baal is always seen as a lokech rishon, is because if the woman has free hand to sell her nechsei malug, that's going to undermine the shalom bayis, so to speak, between she and he. And the Rabbana wanted to guarantee that she would not be able to cut out her husband from the Yerusha, because that, again, as we said before, will generate a lot of sinna. And therefore, even though me'ikar adin, the gift of nechsei malug from the mother to the son is really valid, and with her death he should be zocha in the nechassim, meaning even, with the death of the father, he should be zocha in the kinyan peros. And that's similar to the Mishnah in Baba Basra, that if the son sells the Nechsei Av
then the lokeach is zoche, he has a complete kinyan, because kinyan per shalav, or shalabal in this case of nixemulug, is not considered like a kinyan aguf. Nevertheless, here the din is that the baal will receive the nechasim and not the lokeach, because, and by virtue of takanas usha. So, b'li neder, in the next shiur, we will finish up peches amid beis. I mean, we're almost at the bottom, the last line. And we'll explain and analyze the Takanas Usha and perhaps bring some proofs to embellish that.